Hello, grandkids, to a special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is number 307. I am here with Christopher. How are you doing, sir?
I'm pretty good here, Kevin. I assume you're doing pretty good after attending a very good WWE pay-per-view and meeting some new... making some new acquaintances, I assume, or...
Yes, some new old friends.
New old friends, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, just because Travis and Badre started before we left the Torch. And so I've known them online for, I think we've been in, because it was right before we left the Torch. But I've known them for the better part of 7 years, or at least Travis for the better part of 7 years. Online and have not ever met him. Knucklehead was down in New Orleans last year, but I forget where his dumb ass went. We didn't end up meeting up when we were down there.
Oh yeah. He was big time last year. Wade hooked him up with the press pass and everything. He was in the press box.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to meet him out one night, but we didn't end up doing that. So, yeah, that was the first time I met him. I've known, and Steve was on the message. Well, oh, shit, I might know Steve.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, like, I forgot about that. Like, I've known him on the message board for even longer than that.
Yeah.
It honestly could probably be close to a decade of knowing him without ever meeting him. And honestly, Louisville and Columbus are not that far apart. They are reasonably distanced.
Yeah, neither is Detroit and Columbus, but yeah, this weekend just didn't work for me.
yeah, and
And I've been to Columbus before, actually, so.
Yeah, you have. Okay. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to meet them. Josh lives in town, but there is no way. Like, that's one of those things where when you have friends that have kids, and especially when you do not have kids, you just don't see them that much.
I see my friends with kids all the time. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, I'm doing a lot of stuff is what I'm doing, usually.
Right.
And they're doing a lot of stuff too,
right?
which is really what ends up happening more times not.
Yeah, well, I remember. Yeah, Josh and Rachel got three over there, so yeah, I understand completely. Three infants too, so that's a lot. I do understand that.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't realize that he had lived in town until quite some time, or sometime fairly recently, within the last couple of years. I was like, oh, I didn't know there was someone else from Columbus in here. So that was part of the problem. Plus, oh my lord, that was one thing that was just... I don't think about ages most of the time, but then he goes... Oh, my mom drove me to a pay-per-view, I think in Dayton in 98 when I was 14. And I'm like, this one's tough.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I almost have a decade on you. This is, yeah. So I was like, yeah, I was 1 year away from graduating Kent State when your mom had to drive you to pay-per-view.
Yeah. I guess I'm used to it. I got friends, you know, north and south, 10 years for me, so I guess it's...
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I just don't think about it for some reason. Like, everyone's the same age or something, but they're not really.
Right.
Yeah, it's just one of those things
there are those moments when they reference something, when they reference a song or something, and they realize that that they were in elementary school and you were in high school. Yeah, there's definitely those moments.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, good time was had. They came out. We all hung out for the UFC fights. So that was a good time. And then we had all had tickets in the same section there. I was just a couple of 6 or 8 rows in front of them. So we weren't right beside, or at least the lady and I weren't right beside them. And the one thing that was a bit of a problem, the ladder match, the Money in the Bank match was first. And right in our way, the ladder that was, if you're looking, if you're sitting at the announcer's desk, it was off to the right. And there was a ladder right there in that corner, and we were just like on the corner of the arena. So our view was a little bit obstructed in that department. And it was kind of, it was one of those big honking ladders. They took it, because I'm not sure that they actually ever used that one in the match. So I think it was there until the end of the match. It did not make a reappearance for the Rollins and Ambrose match later.
And well, that's good, I guess.
Yeah. obstructed views was part of it. There were these three guys that loved to stand up that were a bit of a pain in the ass the whole time.
Right.
And it was literally just three of them, and they were just at the right point that it was hard for me to see through. And the guy beside me, I always hate getting sat beside the fat guy. Well, that actually wasn't the problem. He just decided to keep on, you know, rubbing knees with me. And it was a little awkward, to be completely honest with you, especially when you have your buttocks shifted over to try to accommodate the larger gentleman. And then he kept on putting signs in front of me, which was whatever.
Wrestling fans.
I do love it. And really, if I was thinking Josh was young, these guys were certainly in their 20s. So there was definitely a difference in that department. And the wealth of information going around there, you do not need to say anything. Oh, and then almost maybe my favorite part was the dad behind me that I swear he took his kid so that he could go to the pay-per-view. He was more updated on all the stories than his son was.
Yeah.
His son definitely watched because he was really pumped to see Neville in the first match. So, you know, he must be fairly familiar with the product himself.
Right. No, that's good. That's a good father-son outing.
But it was kind of funny that he had to fill his son in on some of the storylines. That got a chuckle from me.
Well, the show goes to 11 o'clock at night. Come on now.
Well, it's a DVR and most people have them at this point. So just don't erase it after you're done viewing. And your son can watch the next day at a reasonable hour. It's not like, you know, you're running out of precious VHS tape space. I might have needed to tape over Starcade 89 just to tape a Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Oh, hold on. That didn't exist when I had Starcade 89, I don't think. So.
No.
But, anywho. Yeah, that was kind of fun. The fans, always kind of interesting, but, one of, probably the best crowd, in Columbus that I've, been to since, King of the Ring was there in 04. I think, part of it, there was certainly, a lot of help from nostalgia, to help, the overall, show, I would say. The unfortunate passing of Dusty Rhodes certainly made for a several moments on the show. You know, because they started off with the 10-bell salute, and then they didn't do the video package until later. And I even said it because as Monday Night Raw plays while we record, you know, I even watched the video package again today. The WWE always does a great job with that stuff. I think this one in some ways hit me in more ways than some of the other legends passing recently, just because I watched him more. You know, it just comes down to that that simple thing. And you know, it was a little tough in there.
I got a little misty-eyed.
I've got to admit.
I'll totally admit to getting misty-eyed at home. They actually played the video the first time on the pre-show, which I guess is what you're saying is that they didn't play that in the during the arena live until later in the during the actual show. Correct, right?
If they played it, it was a tough get in. We got there right before they opened the doors, and the line was super backed up. Because we got there probably about 6:25, and the doors opened at 6:30. And yeah, we were just in the back of the line, so by the time we got in, if they showed it, it very well could have been before we got into the arena proper.
Right, yeah. They, you know, they first showed it about, I would say, probably about 7:45 p.m. on the pre-show. And it's an excellent video. And actually, the part that you would not have seen, because I was watching it on TV, was on the WWE Network, is when they went back to the arena and Renee Young attempting to segue to the next segment and just bawling her eyes out, barely able to get the words out. That was rough. That was rough.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty impressive. I didn't notice everyone up on the stage until a little bit later. Just because everyone was kind of standing and it was such kind of a thing that I wasn't really paying attention to the ramp area. And I didn't even realize, and not that I'm surprised to see Vince out there, but you know, it was kind of one of those things that when you see him on TV these days, it's a little surprising, just because he's been off for the most part for a while now. You know, he makes spot appearances, but I think just in that manner, it's just like, oh yeah.
And Vince definitely looked as broken up as anybody. I mean, I know that him and Dust probably had, I know they had an adversarial relationship at many points over the years, but I'm sure always respect, and of course, they were the same age. So, for, you know, Vince has got that whole, his own mortality, you know, kind of slapping him in the face thing there.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that certainly helped the atmosphere in the arena, I think, all night. It definitely made it special to be the first show after it had occurred. A lot of people had a lot of signs for him.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. It was because a lot of times that they will, if this is, I know, maybe the biggest example being Randy Savage. If the death is, the, you know, just before a pay-per-view, in the past, they've kind of blown it off on the pay-per-view and then waited till Raw to say anything about it. But, you know, this was a different death of an older wrestler, because he'd been back working there for 10 years. I mean, everyone knew him, everyone loved him, everyone had a Dusty taught me this story, and, you know, the word mentor just constantly being thrown around on, you know, pretty much in everyone's, you know, words. So it was, so this definitely, you know, it was a little something, a different type of vibe, you know, for this pay-per-view than many others. And I do think that it, you know, helped.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as it, you know, it kind of sounds bad, but it really was part of it. It made the atmosphere, it helped make the atmosphere that it was. Having a sold out show was certainly another thing that helped. That's the first time I have not seen any of the upper deck covered in quite a while. Because we haven't had I didn't go to the last pay-per-view, which was Bad Blood in 08. But we haven't had a pay-per-view in between then and now. So it's been a 7-year gap in between pay-per-views. And, you know, the Raws, because we've had plenty of Raws, it's at least a Raw or a SmackDown every year has been here. Sometimes both at different times of the, you know, for both of the shows that are here. So yeah, it was, I think that kind of accounted for something different too. It's been a while since there's been a pay-per-view here.
Right, yeah, you know, the fans always come out for a big show, and over the years, this has been yeah, this is it, Money in the Bank has pretty much become the number four show since Survivor Series really means nothing anymore. So yeah, I could definitely see that, you know, this was the one that, you know, brought people out.
Yeah,
People were very excited and.
I certainly was. Like, when I first bought the tickets, I was pretty excited. Like you said, like, it's really kind of the fourth pay-per-view now. Because they always appoint somebody. Like, you know, there isn't King of the Ring anymore. Like, the next big thing now comes from Money in the Bank. Like, even though there, well, I mean, there is King of the Ring, but I mean, it obviously means nothing. I mean, King Barrett can't even beat R-Truth on the kickoff show.
Yeah, no. So yeah, no. The King of the Ring is meaningless.
So,
And yeah, so yeah, the Money in the Bank definitely, it definitely means something. And what Rollins accomplished at WrestleMania, I think, you know, took, you know, the whole Money in the Bank thing to all the way up into the stratosphere. And although, of course, we could talk about, you know, who won it and whether or not that. This reign is Money in the Bank is going to live up to the previous, you know, Money in the Bank holders.
yeah, I guess I have not usually had as much of a problem with Sheamus as a lot of people. Everyone thought that he was miscast as a babyface.
They were right,
Yeah.
especially towards the end of his babyface run. He's been doing. He's performed very well. I don't have a problem with him. It's just I just don't see where this. It leads anywhere new for anyone. I hate to say that the guy at his age is still relatively young. He's, you know, been around, you know, 5, 6 years. So it's not exactly like he's ready to hang it up or anything. But it just doesn't. It doesn't feel like that there's anything's going to come of it that's going to really, you know, spark interest. But we'll see. They have a year.
yeah, I think we kind of talked about it really in the preview show. In some ways, it was a little bit of a lackluster feel, just for the crowd in general, or for the participants in general. You know, a lot of the guys, they're kind of younger. Well, I mean,
Right,
Seth
yeah.
Rollins was in it, you know. He was even a heel, though, that most people could get behind. There wasn't really a heel that you could get behind this year. And I do agree, because Jeremy was the first one that mentioned it to me, that you know, it's better spent on a heel because they want to do the heelish thing and cash in it, you know, the easiest moment.
That's definitely true. I mean, I hope that they have something, semblance of an idea in mind. It wasn't just, well, everyone expects Roman Reigns to win, so let's just not have Roman Reigns win. Who should win then? That guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I thought it was too early for Neville to take it. Like, if he wins it next year, I wouldn't be surprised. But I just thought that it was a little too early into his run. I would have loved to have seen it, but I just thought it was a little too early for him. Ziggler is a retread. Kane is a retread. Randy Orton. That's kind of the interesting thing. Like, when you were talking about Sheamus being around, I feel like Orton could use something like this almost in a way, because both of their careers are kind of similar, where they got somewhere very quick and then they kind of stalled out. Randy now Orton's had a...
Still feuding.
Huh?
And now they're feuding with each other. There's nothing new in it for them, which is my concern with Sheamus winning. What new ground is there to cover?
I think the main event of the show kind of shows that there can be other opponents for him. Because he's just kind of picked on the little guys since he came back. And I know it's a match tonight because I stopped in the middle of it. But he could have a full-fledged feud with Ambrose at some point. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Cesaro again at this point, with Kid being injured. I'm trying to think of who else they could have Sheamus fight. But yeah, I think that he could have a few opponents if they keep him away from them in the meantime. He hasn't really fought Roman Reigns at all, and obviously Roman Reigns got a little tied up in this match too. I mean, there were a couple of big moments in this match. The winner certainly is an interesting choice. I don't blame anyone like you for being skeptical, just because he has been so stagnant for so long. Like, he came back and he got this heel thing, but they haven't really gotten behind him with it either. He's had a win, but then he just got just this past Monday, he got completely destroyed by Randy Orton. And I don't feel like he did anything like that impressive in the ladder match itself.
No, he didn't. And of course, you literally had pause right in the middle of Sheamus versus Ambrose, so I'm not gonna get into any spoilers of what happened in that match, because I'm about an hour ahead of you when it comes to my Raw watching tonight.
What the hell? Yeah, Sheamus definitely has a retread storyline right now, but I do think that there's other stuff out there, and I will take a wait and see approach with them. They definitely tried something different by bringing him back as a heel.
Yeah,
I still think that there could be some changes made to improve the character. Let's see if maybe something happens on this this little ride. Like, I can be a wait and see on this one, and not immediately crap on the decision.
Right. I guess getting out of our smart booking, how was the match live? I've seen two multi matches in my day live. It's a cool experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, I can't remember, and it wasn't something that I took the maybe I can do that right now. Took the chance to look up was the fact that how many times there was an odd number of participants. Because that, to me, made that opening part of the match very fun.
Yeah, I liked how everyone appeared off, and then Kofi was standing in the middle of the ring with a ladder going, and
yeah, it was a pretty fun spot because I feel like normally there's an even number, so it's just, you know, guys pair off, and you know they just fight, so there's no time for someone to put up a ladder and try to go for it. Okay. Well,
2 years, I believe.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, then, maybe that's my bad. I was gonna look that up I figured, I'm like, oh, I probably could just check Wikipedia to see, which ones they, have an odd number here. But, anyway, I do think that was a really fun spot at the beginning. I honestly would have to say that the Randy Orton RKO on Neville off of the ladder got the biggest pop of the night.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much what everyone was in that match for.
Yeah, that was kind of funny to think that Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston are in matches for the same reason now, just because they're spot monkeys.
RKOs off of high places are definitely becoming a calling card for Orton. Of course, at WrestleMania, I probably saw the coolest one ever.
Yeah. But, so that one certainly was a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't really notice Sheamus in the match. Everybody else kind of took their turns taking the Edge coffee break, as I have trademarked it. And, you know, just kind of going in and out of the action in cycles there. I was kind of surprised that when Bray Wyatt did show up, he definitely got a big reaction. And I almost felt like they didn't, like the lights didn't feel like they went out for very long. Like, I just thought that it was honestly a malfunction and not one of those, like, yeah, I always feel like it's like 10 or 15 seconds, so you get enough of a, what's gonna happen kind of vibe going on. But they, like, just played a quick snippet of his music. And the lights went dark, and then all of a sudden he was in the ring, and he had Sister Abigail on Roman Reigns.
Yeah, they did that very quick. I guess I'm impressed, you know, at how they pulled that off like that.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. You know, there was a lot going on in this match. To me, it was a good match. I mean, you can't expect, like, some... Well, I mean, you really could compare it to the... or the opposite thing would be the main event. Which, you know, was kind of a classic injured knee and heel goes to work on it. Despite the fact it was a ladder match, I mean, a lot of extra tools got used. But it was kind of a basic formula match. You can't really have that with the Money in the Bank match itself, really, with so many participants involved. You know, it's just, it's not going to happen.
Right, no. It was the opening spot best, and it was a very good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I dug it. So, yeah, there was that. And then, the ladies' match was next.
Yeah, I thought that they worked hard. They tried to have a good match, and mostly they did it, but just a bad finish. You know, the logic of the whole, when that match referee, you know, seeing Twin Magic being pulled right before his eyes and letting the match continue and letting Nikki win. I mean, granted, on commentary, Michael Cole did point out that either way, it meant Nikki retained the title. So I guess it really didn't matter whether she won the match by pinfall or whether she lost on a disqualification. She retained the title either way. But how was the match received live?
It was kind of funny. The experts to my left were upset later in the show about, they said something about let the divas wrestle or something like that. I think it was when they had the advertisement for Total Divas. And they said something like, oh, they should just let the divas, wrestle more. But I'm like, you guys were just sitting here during the Nikki Page match. So why would they want to put them on TV more? And not just them in particular, but, if you want something to happen, you need to support it.
Right, yeah.
So, you can't say something like that, but then not support it. So, I don't know. It was a well-wrestled match, I thought, for the most part. Like you said, the ending was just completely silly, especially when the person who does the illegal act admits to doing the illegal act. Like you said, right. it leads to the same outcome. And they seem like they're going to continue the feud, so why not just do it that way? But it's still just completely silly that Paige nor the referee can tell the difference between those two. There's like at least a 15-pound difference between the two of them at this juncture. She did not pull enough toilet paper out of her outfit to even be close to Nikki sized.
They look very little alike anymore. I mean, their faces are very different. I mean, one is more round, the other is more
square.
Square
or angular, maybe, is what you're looking for.
Yeah, rectangular, triangular. they look very. They look so little alike, and it's not just the boobs. And which, once again, as you said, there wasn't even enough toilet paper to cover that. I mean, said. Doing twin magic at this point is just absolutely stupid. It makes everyone look stupid. And I guess if we're gonna talk about stupid, we can talk about the next match and the next match finish.
Honestly, this was the one that I forgot about the most on the card.
Oh yeah.
I can at least say that the women's match was, for the most part, well executed. This one, it just was a clunker, just because of everything involved. I'm not quite sure why they just didn't make this a three-way match.
I'm not sure why these three people... I mean, did they pick these names out of a hat to do a three-way feud? I mean, I can't imagine... There's nothing about this that screams that this could ever possibly be a good triple threat match. I mean, there's just nothing about any of the three characters, character-wise, for each of their in-ring styles. There's nothing about this that I don't even say that it would be good to great. I mean, nothing about this that screams to me that it would even work on even the slightest level. And of course, that ended up being the disqualification because, Miz ran in with a microphone and they started basically selling, which they sold like they were being attacked by flies, so. I guess from a live perspective, going back a little bit.
That one was a clunker. I did kind of enjoy the fact. I mean, Ryback's another guy that I think would just work better as a heel. But I did like that he mouthed, I don't want to keep my belt that way, or something like something along those lines. I don't like winning that way, or something. Right. And it's just like, okay, I mean, that is the way his character is. So he should be doing things like that. So from at least a character standpoint, that's a good thing to do.
Well, speaking of things that Ryback mouthed, were you able to be in earshot of hearing him while he was trying to apply that funky armbar thing on Big Show, actually having to yell, sit? Because Big Show wasn't going.
No, I did not catch that. That is outstanding. Oh, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, Big Show wasn't going down with him, so Ryback had to, like, tell him to sit down. That is just bad match, bad angle. I have no desire to see anything involving these three ever again. But apparently, we're gonna get a 5-week build to a 3-way match, which so some bad TV and some bad matches are coming. bad TV and bad matches are coming.
Yeah, but things definitely picked up after that.
Yes, they did. Match of the night, match of the month, and I guess depending on what you on your taste in wrestling, maybe the match of the year took place next.
You know, that was kind of interesting when I saw Steve say that, because as much as I liked it, it still left that this is a Ring of Honor match taste in my mouth. Because there were a lot of finishes, a lot of big maneuvers kicked out of. It certainly added a lot of drama. And again, it was well executed. I like these two guys in the ring. But to me, there wasn't as much... the WWE just has more of that punching, kicking, kind of regular offense kind of thing to get over most of the times. Well, even like the main event. Again, to go back to that that change, there wasn't anything resembling that kind of sustained offense, because I think it was maybe about, it was only 10 or 15 minutes into the match that an attitude adjustment got hit for the first time, and I feel like Owens hit a pop-up powerbomb not that long after that.
There was only one pop-up powerbomb in the match. I think it was towards the end.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Both these matches with these two so far have been more about just trading moves kind of back and forth, and not about any kind of sustained, beat down or, it's just definitely a very different type of match structure for WWE. I think it's absolutely working. It's obviously, it's something different. It was the biggest thing on the show, and I think we have reached a point where this is obviously going to continue to a rubber match that, granted, the word on the street is that, Brock Lesnar is wrestling at Battleground in 5 weeks, so, obviously that would be more, that would probably help, especially if he's facing Rollins, it'll be, that obviously be the main event, but I would say that if anyone else in any other match was going to be the title match at Battleground, I would say screw it, put Cena and Owens on last, because nothing can follow them.
and that's kind of funny you say that. I do think that the final match suffered from this match.
Oh, it absolutely.
And again, to go back to the change in styles, you went from this match where it's almost, just big move after big move, seemingly, And then you go to a guy working over someone's knee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I guess are we going to move on to the main event, or do we want to talk about the tag team title match first?
I think I'm just using that as comparisons, because I really don't want to take that much away from this match. Because it was thoroughly enjoyable. I loved seeing that live. It wasn't as much of a problem, and it's kind of funny. I guess we will get to the tag team match, because I do want to talk about that.
Right.
Just these two are kind of tying together. Owens and Cena kept it in the ring a lot. Well, for whatever reason, the Titantron stopped working.
I didn't hear about that.
Huh?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
So that stopped working during the main event. That certainly hurt the enjoyability factor, because at least from our area, there were a number of times that we couldn't see them at all. So you're just kind of missing parts of the action.
Right. I totally understand that. Yeah. And that's a big part of the reason, I'm sure, that, you know, besides being spent from Cena versus Owens, that the main event didn't have great reactions. Plus, it was a long match that was building and building and building, as opposed to Owens and Cena, that was just, you know, big moves from the start, just all action. What do you feel? Actually, I guess we'll talk about this. What are your feelings on the finish to Cena versus Owens?
Not surprised. I mean, I thought Cena would get his win back, so that part was not surprising. I was really glad, even though, again, like, Owens is having a similar rapport with John Cena that he had with Sami Zayn. And in some ways, it's almost the same story. Cena's like, okay, giving you some respect at the end of the match. And then Owens attacks him.
Right, yeah. Very similar story, but, you know, once again, it worked for what they were doing. I mean, it's bad that, you know, once again, the Ring of Honor match qualities that you talked about, you know, it definitely helped, because it showed how much Cena had to do to put Owens down. So once again, so Owens really lost nothing from the loss. You know, what it takes to get the three of the guys finishers.
Oh, come on. Come on. Don't do this to me now. Not now. Okay, I think you're back here.
I never left. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you might need to repeat the last couple of seconds there. Oh, well.
Yeah. It is 1-1. The rubber mat. Two losses. But that's just not the way that they decided to go. But they kept Owens as strong as possible. And he also needed to do something heelish.
Right. And that bump is just tough to watch.
I'm sure it is for you. I know you got your back issued.
Just knowing how hard that corner of that ring is too, just in general, that's just a tough bump. And that was one that's kind of funny. I was complaining about stuff happening on the outside of the ring. Owens did execute that kind of on the corner of the far side of the ring that we could see.
Right, yeah, that is a tough bump. I mean, especially for someone with the wear and tear that Cena does. And, I mean, literally, you know, the amount of muscles he's torn over the years. So that's definitely a big bump for him to take. And once again, I mean, for what he does. It's not what you're winning the match. It's not what people are going to be focusing on. It's the beatings you just took after.
Right. And, and now it just comes down to how the third match comes out.
Right. And that's going to be very interesting. I look forward to it. Because at that point, all bets are off. I have no idea who's going to win that one. And also, you want a small spoiler of what's ahead on Raw?
Sure.
The U.S. title is going to be on the line in the third one.
Ah, well, yeah, that does make some sense.
Yeah.
Now,
the NXT Championship, that's going to be an interesting thing because Kevin Owens very possibly going to be losing that in Japan to Finn Balor. So by that point, Owens might be 100% on the main roster and no longer the DNA. So he could very well.
Yeah, I mean it'll be interesting again just to see. He did sign the full-time roster contract, so it would make sense. He might get the win. And at a minimum, we will probably have a third good match.
I do hope that they have yet another wrestling match. I hope they don't go to the gimmick. This third match, because I don't think they need it. Maybe save the gimmick for SummerSlam if they're going all the way there. But I definitely could say that let them have a third excellent match in the ring.
Hey, yeah, I am. I'm not going to argue. So, yeah, and there was, well, there are a couple of things to talk about, because the tag team match was next in order. It was, pretty smart to, bring out the wet blanket, and to kill some time. with Big E and Xavier Woods, because they honestly probably got about as much promo time as they had ring time. I like the primetime players.
I should say I like Titus O'Neil. Titus is very good. Obviously, the two of them are between Titus being Dad of the Year and Darren Young being only out of major star in the wrestling business. They're a PR gold mine. So I definitely see why they're being pushed, and I like Titus a lot. I really didn't have much of a problem with the finish. I know a lot of people were very upset by it, but no, I like the idea of it. I like the idea that when it was 2-on-2, the New Day lost, so now course, this is going to lead to them talking about how they need to have a fair rematch where it's all three of them.
Yeah, that was I said this to Jeremy when he was asking me about the event, because he missed a lot of watching Game of Thrones. I told him that New Day might be the only team that can lose and get more good material out of it.
Oh yeah.
Than anyone else.
I mean, there's a lot of directions they can take it. There needs to be three of them out there. Kofi and Big E are usually the ones defending the title, so the title change shouldn't stand. And there's, even though they're the ones who instituted the the Freebird rule themselves. There's a lot of ways they can take it.
Right. So that's the only thing. And the other thing that I feel like, I don't think they reunited Rowan and Harper for shits and giggles. I think they want the titles around them more than anyone else.
Right. Yeah. They're definitely going to be put into the mix soon. And I mean, what else are you going to do with this tag team division? The Usos and Cesaro and Kid are both on the shelf. I mean, you got to build it somebody.
Right. They're a lot of fun. I mean, Titus, because that's it. Darren Young, it isn't a whole lot of anything in the ring, I guess, to me, is more his problem. I think that he plays off of Titus O'Neil very well in their promos.
Yeah, and I guess Darren Young takes the good 2-on-1 beating so that Titus can do his exciting, reckless abandon, you know, hot tag where he just runs through everybody, and by no means the smoothest, you know, wrestler of all. He'll just see where they land, and so, which I don't gotta be, so yeah, I'm not gonna watch on my end.
Yeah. So I honestly think that the primetime players got the belts so that Rowan and Harper can fight them. Yeah. Honestly, that's it. So we can't have two heels fighting each other. And New Day, like we already said, kind of benefits from this happening. So, I mean, they can keep their gimmick going, and they just kind of become a comedy tag team. Good for them. And then, yeah, there was the main event, which we've already kind of talked about a couple of times. And the only thing we haven't talked about was the kind of weirdish ending. That, to me, was the only thing in this match that was a problem.
Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez used the phrase Wile E. Coyote like, and there's definitely something to that. I mean, Ambrose, I do agree, he took too much, and then popped right up from it to do the, you know, either do the Rollins decimates Ambrose and just casually and just climbs up, you know, definitively, or do the photo finish. They tried to do both, and it didn't work as well as I think just choosing one would have gone with.
yeah, I guess I wanted to see a bit more of a definitive win by Rollins. Just because he was on his own. And I think Ambrose can take it. it can still be a little underhanded. Just because, really, ladder matches are underhanded in nature anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like the match. It was a good match. I mean, there were definitely moments where Ambrose's selling left a lot to be desired. Because they still had to do a ladder match and have a hard-hitting match while Ambrose was supposed to be limping, and it wasn't perfect the whole way through.
Yeah, and as much as he sold it, there were a lot of times in general that he had to do running moves, and you can't do a running move and fake a knee injury.
Right, no. So, again, it wasn't the smoothest match. But it was definitely, and of course, you know, following what they had to follow with not only Kevin Owens versus Cena, but a second more, you know, more exciting opener.
Oh boy. Okay. He can say that it's not his end, but I don't know. I'm the one recording, and he's the one that just dropped off. So, yeah, I mean, we're getting to the end of this anyway. So, I think I'm just going to go ahead and wrap this up. Because, yeah, I mean, the ending to that match kind of stunk. And it's obviously the feuds continue. Like I said, I already watched a little bit of Raw. Or, at a minimum, Dean Ambrose might get a shot again sometime in the future, being some type of multi-man match. I'm sure that will be determined here. And he's back, and I was just babbling in the meantime about how I was going to wrap this thing up, because we were kind of at an end point anyway.
Yeah, we were.
But it was good of you to rejoin us. And yeah, I was just saying that it looks like from all possibilities, the Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins thing's gonna continue just because of Rollins mouthing off to Stephanie and Triple H still. And yeah. I didn't see the end of the Sheamus Ambrose match, but I could imagine some type of number one contenders match also happening. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm actually gonna get ready to get back into Raw as soon as we're done here.
Okie dokie. Well, since I want to get this posted at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, at Stunt Granny is the umbrella. So, grandkids, that was a fun pay-per-view, and thank you everyone from the message boards for coming out to Columbus to help me enjoy this pay-per-view. Night.